We are another episode ready to rock and roll. Welcome, everyone, to Three Truths and a Slide. I'm one of your co-hosts, Aaron Schaefer, and we are here through the magic of pushing record buttons. Kristen Froberg. How's it going, Kristen? So this next episode is season 2, episode 10 of the TV show Sliders, which, by the way, we go through it one episode at a time. I tell Kristen three truths and a lie, try to slide something past her. But lately she's been on a roll of stopping me and hope. So the next episode is titled Great Fellas. So yes, Great Fellas. All right. So, Kristen, are you ready for the next batch of three truths and a slide, Great Fellas style? All right. So the first truth is that prohibition was not repealed. The second truth is that phone calls are through people. So, like, you can't, like, make a direct phone call. You have to, like, talk to a person who's talking to another person on the other line. Does that make sense? So the third truth is that Ronald Reagan is running for governor of California after he's already been president. So 1996, he's running to be governor. And the fourth truth is that a movie critic explicitly doesn't take a position on Pauly Shore. Some people like him, some people don't like him, that sort of thing. All right, so this is a really wordy one, and I tried trimming it down. I'm sorry about that. I'll go through the list another time, one more time. First, prohibition's not repealed. Second, phone calls are like through people. So that way, like, that's how like phone calls are like monitored with the government. No direct phone calls with people. Third, Reagan's running for governor. Fourth, movie critic does not take a position on Pauly Shore. Pauly Shore is the... Pauly Shore. All right, well, let's jump into the vortex and see if 4 stars have been given to Pauly Shore.
The following episode may contain spoilers for the films Goodfellas, The Untouchables, The Godfather, and Casino, all of which are at least 15, possibly 20 years old, so I need you to be fine. But I did want to say that to be polite. Aaron, let's get into it!
All right, so let's go through the list. Was Prohibition repealed?
No.
No, Prohibition was not repealed. Are phone calls through people? Are there no direct calls made in this world?
That's not a thing that happens.
No, it feels like another myth, though. Like, if they really wanted to, like, crack down and rule things, if the mob was really in control, but, like, they didn't actually control things, but they really controlled things. Feels like mob people would be between phone calls. Ronald Reagan, is he running for governor after being president?
Yeah, he is. I had the fear and trauma hormone go through my body when I saw that poster, but
I got thoughts on that also. Yeah. And is a movie critic unwilling to take a position on Pauly Shore?
Absolutely. An L I was delighted to take because wow, what a moment.
So there's two worlds.
The show is Bird on Pauly Shore. says Sliders, the show.
So there's two worlds in this show. There's the intro world and the main world.
Mm-hmm.
The intro world, almost everyone's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And our heroes get sued. and the main world.
Or they would have if they hadn't slid.
Yeah. And and then the main world is the warning that Kristen had at the top. It's a conglomeration of all those Scorsese films.
Mm-hmm. And a Brian De Palma.
So in the intro world,
I wrote "The Journal is back," all caps. Yes, inconsistent journal. I missed you.
And 80%, over 80% of the people in this world are lawyers. And this, strangely, this world I think has the most fear out of any of the worlds we've been to.
Like, yeah, it's very stressful. He bumps into a woman and she's about to sue and he apologized and that's admitting guilt. There is so much world building that takes place in this intro that then never seen nor heard from again has absolutely nothing to do with the episode main, which, remember, that's how I like it. I love a vivid... No, the rules in these intro worlds are clearer than the rules in the main world half the time. It's iconic. Never change. I love it.
So they have, there's like lengthy releases and paperwork for fast food. Movie critics not willing to take a position on Pauly Shore. Shout out to the prop department. So the burgers that are available for them to order are the Whammy, Double Whammy, Carnivore, and Super Carnivore. Like this... This is a restaurant after my own heart. Yeah. I can get down on this.
It's like if In-N-Out was even better.
Did you notice anything notable about the lawyer who handed them his card and said, "Hey, you're getting sued"?
Yeah. Where have we seen him before? Was a rickshaw involved?
No. He's not the rickshaw lawyer.
Okay.
So, same episode, though.
Okay.
He is the pallbearer.
Oh.
And so remember, he's like the Undertaker, and then he's also like with the mom, and he like laughs at the end of the episode. Right. And you're like, is this guy, are we going to see this guy again? Yes, in an uncredited episode. He's not credited. But this is it. This is the end of the line. No, he's in no more episodes.
This show is truly just vibing. Just vibing. Here's this dude you've seen again. It doesn't mean anything. It's, I love it.
Yeah. And what else? Anything else? Oh, so there's like, this is like, I think this is the biggest off-screen slide we've ever seen. We don't even see them try and go into it. It's like they start running and then it's immediate neon colonoscopy. And that's it.
Yeah. And I'm very excited. We're approaching my favorite moment of the whole show so far.
Okay, so are we talking about the mob wedding?
Yeah.
Where that they crash into?
Yeah.
Is part of this before the opening credits, or is it credits before this? I don't remember.
I can't remember.
Yeah. So,
I think they slide, and then we go to the opening credits, and maybe then open at the mafia wedding. It's not that important, but... So that's, I mean, clearly a little shout out to Godfathers.
So, Kristen, there is a lot to unpack from this little scene.
Yeah.
Do you want to kick it off?
Okay, so Mel Torme is there.
The Velvet Fog.
Okay. The statement Mel Torme is there, that's an understatement. That's a big part of the episode. Mel Torme is there. I'm really embarrassed of how long I took to make the Mel Torme Tracy Torme connection.
Yes. I was going to be like, he is his dad.
Yeah.
Yes. In fact, when I first watched the show, I had to look it up on the IMDb credits because I was like, I need to know.
Right.
Yeah. And this is the only episode that he's in, though.
But there's someone else that we're going to see who's been in another episode. Our second. There's someone else in this episode who we've seen before in the show, and I got very, very excited.
Really?
I'm assuming.
Are you talking about psychic nurse?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the...
Oh, yeah.
The Derrick's family.
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
We'll unpack all that. Sorry. At first I thought the psychic nurse from the previous episode was the gal that was playing Jerry. And I double checked and I'm like, no, it's not the same person.
They have similar big hair and enigmatic acting, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
So the daughter does not want to marry this man. Understatement. We find out why later on. She has strong motivations.
Very Spaceballs energy. For like when the bride doesn't want to be a part of the wedding, and well,
and they're like they're uniting like Italian Catholics and Jewish people. Like the mafia is very different here. Anyway, but it's mafia, and it's like shouting out the opening of The Godfather.
And I think the whole reason for all of that was just to show the shot of the rabbi and the priest next to each other shrugging. Yes. I think that was the whole reason for that whole plot point.
Then I did a key smash. The sliders are coming in. And I said, okay, this man taking out a gun, waving it around and screaming, son of a bitch, at the portal is my favorite thing that ever happened on the show.
He brought like a real Sonny Corleone energy to the role.
I rewound it 4 times. Because the way he's... he's just going to shoot the portal. Like, I loved it. It was so good. So they come through.
So some of our heroes land in the pool.
Yep.
Rembrandt like flies farther than everyone else. Mm-hmm. And he's front and center.
Drops in the middle. I mean, I think they should have had him do a superhero 3-point landing. They didn't. It is what it is. But... They have a reaction upon seeing him. We'll circle back to that. But people seem to recognize him, and he's like, must be because of my iconic fame as the crying man on this world as well. Mel Torme is triggered.
Well, all he says is, hey, Mel, buddy, we used to work together. And everyone's like, they used to work together. What does that mean?
Yeah, because Cleveland Derricks is like, well, Rembrandt's just like, yeah. He means singing career, but it means something else. so like the sliders just kind of leave. We get a close in on a creepy angel statue. I'm pretending it was a weeping angel from Doctor Who. I would like to believe the two worlds coincide. They mention Rembrandt is an incorruptible, which made me think of the Untouchables, and I'm sure there's another Untouchables reference later.
Yeah, yeah. And so then they go to the hotel, and who do we see at the hotel again?
It's Will.
Sassy Sasso.
They clearly recognize him at the hotel, and they're referring to him as deputy director. They recognize just him, not the other ones.
Then Jerry's like, should I get a newspaper to trigger the professor? And Sasso's like,
an almanac would be worse, but
Sasso's like, hey, there's a guy here that wants to talk to you. And
Jerry wanders out the door and promptly gets pulled into the shadows like he has no sense upon him. Jerry, what is this clown behavior? No, he must be tired. It's okay. He's disoriented. It's not the Jerry I know. We will be seeing the Jerry I know later, and we'll talk about it. But
so is Mel Torme, Kristen, is Mel Torme just a simple, humble lounge singer in this world?
No, he's in the FBI.
He's an informant for the FBI. Apparently, he's like on the inside of the whole mobster wedding that's going on. And while Jerry is talking to the Velvet Fog, our crew accepted a bribe off screen.
Accidentally. Because they don't know what's up. Deputy Director Rembrandt Brown is off doing something with the Canadian Mounties, which I'm like, oh, it's got to be an Untouchables reference. I wrote, the mafia is sitting around being mad about informants. And then LOL, Return of Goodfellas on the Disney Channel. So like in the hotel room, Wade's just like looking at what's available to watch. I'm envisioning Disney Plus, and maybe Goodfellas should be on Disney Plus. I'd seen The Godfather before, but I watched a lot of gangster movies this past year. Little known sleeper hit, The Goodfellas. Can't recommend that film strongly enough. Absolutely loved it. What did I write? Mel Torme tells Jerry to tell Rembrandt to wait for their signal, and then an affordable options, Andy Garcia, who is very prominent in this mafia. He's the one that screamed and tried to shoot the portal. He shows up and gives them like $100,000, and they accept it because they don't know they're supposed to be the FBI. And then I just have to let you know that I did watch this on Peacock. the second time, and it promoted a bunch of things that they have, like along the lines of Downton Abbey, like sports and also shows people are watching. When it came time to promote the films that are available, they listed exactly two, and those films were Cinderella Man and Ride Along 2. Folks, sign up for Peacock. Pay for the... I didn't know Ride Along 1 was a movie. And I think Cinderella Man was one of those ones that's like, fine, like maybe someone got nominated for Best Supporting Actor and then we completely forgot about it. Imagine you're hyping your streaming service and those are the two movies you... Ride Along 2. Gotta let people know this one's here. It's the same energy as like a few months ago, like all the Twilight moved to Amazon or Netflix or something and there was a lot of yelling. And that's Ride Along too. Anyway, problems, some girl, bar with no alcohol. Yes, Jerry yeeted that man, all caps. So, Aaron, what happens in the bar?
Yeah, so our heroes have a meeting of the minds where the next step is, and Jerry's like, I'm going to go get a drink. And he goes down, and there turns out there's no booze available because it's not a speakeasy. And there's a casino gal pal who's eyeing him.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets pushed around by a goon, and Jerry's like, hey, man. And
military skills that we saw in part two of the premiere, they're back, folks. They are back.
With vengeance.
It was amazing.
It was like Jerry's hair stood up and the rest of his body just followed.
They let him do what he needs to be doing, what needs to be done. I loved it.
And then him and Gal Pal run out together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a world dump on how Prohibition and the mob marriage... And Jerry and Gal Pal are walking down the road and they kiss and then she gets into a taxi cab and then he realizes that she took all of his money.
Yep.
She took all of the payoff
money. Pickpocketed him so good, because if there's one thing the men of Sliders love doing, it's not noticing that very voluminous, like very weighted materials have been... No, I will say Jerry realizes it pretty quick. So
yeah.
Also, was it in an envelope? Like how did she... It doesn't matter. Next, all caps, I have... Rembrandt's disguise, because he is just sitting out in public in like sunglasses and a hat. Like, this is an MCU level disguise, because famously, like
Clark Kent's glasses.
No, in the Winter Soldier, when he has to hide, they put a logo free baseball cap on Chris Evans. and sunglasses, and then they go to an Apple store. Like, it's the most, like, are you trying to get caught? Is that what you're trying to do? And this was the same energy as that. And also, I don't really have a sliding made a difference, but maybe I do, because Rembrandt's just, we're not even trying disguise, is actually where the MCU, that's the reason they disguise, and you can see I'm making air quotes, their heroes in the way that they do. sunglasses at night.
Then Jerry gets to a free show of Mel Torme.
I said, what a moment for Mel Torme. And then it zooms in on a sign that says Winona Judd. She's not in the episode. We don't see her. Someone on the prop team like Winona Judd.
So Jerry's talking to Mel. Mel says, you know what? You have an honest face. And... So the whole, like, Ronald Reagan running for governor,
right.
It feels like Watchmen type of an energy of, like...
Gotta remind you of this thing. Gotta tone to every once in a while.
Yeah, but it's also, like the dystopian feel of it felt very Watchmen-y to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Then...
And Mel's like, you know what? I'm going to help you out. And then gets into his car.
No, spoilers for Casino coming up. So Mel Torme with the singing and then the acting, he's really going for it. It's when he starts talking about how he actually just wants to like live off the grid and feed chickens. I was like, he's about to die. And then, they're walking toward the car and I wrote, is his car going to blow up? LOL Casino. And Jerry screams, Mel, no, like he's known this man for a very long time. Spoilers for Casino. Robert De Niro is not dead. Like, he escapes the fire explosion unscathed, as does Mel Torme. So I thought that was a little Casino shout out. Casino is, if someone else directed it, it would be like among their greatest films. But since it's a Scorsese, it's like, yeah, top eight. You know, like, there's so much else there, but that's a really great movie. Breaking news, Casino, a good film. Cut to other Rembrandt.
Yeah.
I wrote fun acting for the Derricks family here. I hope we have both of them on screen at the same time. Okay, we love the show. It's fun. Clevent Derricks always does a great job with it. They've been doing a lot better with giving him more intelligent material this season. What a delight to see him in just a regular, like, calm, intelligent sort of, like, just a regular role.
Yeah.
Like, where he's not supposed to be the comedic. I don't know, it made me want to watch more of his acting.
Yeah, and who knows if me fully breaking down which brothers on screen at which time will make the final cut. But, yeah, I felt like they used Clinton differently in this episode than when he was the king.
Yeah. No, and I don't, it's not to imply that I don't enjoy watching Rembrandt, but it just, I mean, they just often have him being really goofy and they never have him being serious. And it was just a lot of fun to see Clevent Derricks get to play someone who's just really taking care of business.
Yes.
Let's see.
So then Jerry uses a payphone that's a slot machine.
Yeah.
I almost had that be in the Three Truths and a Slide. And then we go back to the hotel room.
Where the bride from the wedding shows up and is like, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, help me, Sliders, you're my only hope.
Spaceball's bride.
We find out that they had her actual fiance killed, so she has to marry this other guy. Real strong motivation to not want to be doing that. Wade and the professor, like, we're going to go to the FBI. Don't open the door for anybody, so you know that they will be opening the door for someone.
Did you write down Rembrandt's quote in the room?
No.
Oh, he has a great line where she's like, I need your help, deputy director. She says something like that, and he goes, hey, I'm just a singer. I mean, I have a cousin who's a security guard in Imperial Beach, Florida.
Oh, no. That one flew by me.
Well, and you know how Clevent Derricks, he's the only one that can deliver that. Like,
I'm usually very much here for his just great deliveries of random lines, but I missed
that one. I have a cousin who's a security guard. I love the details, like the specifics. Like, that's it. Just, oh, it's so good.
So Jerry tries to get his money back. Oh, we're back at the casino, but the lady already blew it gambling. I'm just gonna say it is not Jerry O'Connell's fault. The way that they had the character of Quinn grabbing and manhandling this woman, even though she stole the money, I was like, it's not great. I'm not loving this.
Yeah.
It's a little bit rough for what I want to see from Quinn, I'm just saying. But it's fine.
And so he goes like full Rain Man at the counting cards.
I said, oh, OMG, he's gonna lip sync for his life, meaning gamble. I was like, he's about to show us how it's done.
And so I've never seen so many splits.
No.
Playing blackjack. And then he gets a hit. He says, hit me on 19. And then on another one says, hit me on 18.
I know very little. And I was like, okay.
And he was card counting a five deck boot, like, which I'm pretty sure is impossible. And you have to be
nothing is impossible for Quinn Mallory, boy genius.
Well, it what does it say? It's a lot like advanced number theory or something like that.
Yeah. Gets a real sick burn on him. Okay, so Wade and the professor show up at the FBI. I wrote other Rembrandt.
Oh, which is inside an old furniture warehouse.
Yeah.
So the FBI this world has no budget.
Yeah. I mean, let's not. We gotta move past that. I was gonna make a joke, but let's not. They tell him that Leah Greenfield is in hiding with them. This wedding was supposed to ally Nevada and California.
So the professor goes on this whole long thing of California and Nevada wanting to secede
and then it will start the next civil war.
So he pulls all this together. It reminds me of an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger, where there was this like ice knife assassin, and you kept like seeing this guy with like this briefcase who'd open up and there'd be an ice knife and he'd kill someone. And the idea was the murder weapon would just melt and disappear.
Oh.
And so for 20 minutes, you're seeing this ice knife assassin doing things. And then it shows Walker in one scene. And he goes on for like 45 seconds on the backstory of the ice assassin. Like he knows all this stuff for no reason. And
very, very George R. R. Martin of him, honestly, because it's like you'll just be reading along and it's like you're about to get some history on this ale in this alehouse.
So in my notes, I wrote Professor Texas Ranger. He knows too much.
And that is better than drawing a Game of Thrones parallel. But I was going to ask you what an ice knife was. And then I thought that maybe it's like, so one time someone asked me what a playwright did. And I didn't know how to say, well, they write the play without being a complete jerk. But it is kind of, it's like asking what's in a rum and coke. So I was thinking, what's an ice knife? And I was like, is it a knife that's made out of ice? And then you clarified that it was before I could embarrass myself, which I did anyway.
But missed opportunity in here when they said, oh, and here are the, they said something about here are the incorruptibles. They should have had like a bizarro version of all of our heroes, or had our heroes as incorruptibles in the same room.
Yeah. There could have been much more. There could have been more Untouchables references. Another pretty solid crime movie that I had watched this year. they're like, you have to help this girl. She's going to die. And he's like, it's above me. Like, he's not without compassion, but it's just like, we have no budget for helping anyone or doing hardly anything, really. So, prayers up.
And then, so our professor and Slade then go to meet with the governor candidate in his limo.
Well, before that is right when we had cut back to Jerry getting called out for counting cards, and that's when he gets it, because they're cutting back and forth between the warehouse and the casino.
Yeah.
And she says, you're just so amazing. And he says, I don't think so. And I was like, is he saying, I don't think so, is I don't think I'm amazing, or I don't think so, girl, that's not gonna work on me a second time.
Nice.
Professor and Wade meet with the other governor candidate guy. Okay. Her life is on the line. Her fiancé was killed to make her marry that guy. Okay, I don't trust the governor candidate, but we'll see. So I'm not good at predicting the slides, but sometimes I'm okay at being like, yeah, this is a bad dude.
And he was almost an MVP of the episode for me because his delivery was so robotic. Not an actual person. Not even like a smarmy. He was just saying lines.
This is an AI.
Yeah. He was just like, he was just reciting text. It was like they hired him that day off the street and were just like, just read the cue card.
Yeah, it was fine. He did what needed to be done. Mafia is in the room when Jerry walks in yelling about money. He rolls in yelling about how he got the money back. Clearly, Mafia is in the room with Rembrandt and the girl, guns drawn.
Which, by the way, that's an open thread. Don't know what happens to her later.
We hope she's fine. And then everyone gets arrested because, yeah, we couldn't trust that governor guy. Tommy, his name was my fave from the beginning. He's very excited to start shooting. And they definitely do that thing of where they talk for long enough to allow the heroes to be rescued.
Well, they also, it's like the Bond villain, like, let me tell you my whole plan. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you everything. In 5 succinct sentences before the police come. And so our feds bust in to break up the party. And in the end, we have a Derek's bro fest.
I said, yes, time for both Rembrandts. I also wrote, what is Wade's outfit? But it took me until then to really think of it. An additional woman kisses Jerry, like, and...
Oh, yeah.
So this is 2 episodes in a row that Jerry's gotten kissed by someone. That's fine. No problems with that. Only a problem when Wade does it, huh? Mel Torme isn't dead because I've seen Casino. Nice trench coat for Jerry. And then the Derek's brothers doing a symbol toward each other at the end.
And they said some line like, "See you around, my brother." They said a line like that, and I was like, "Oh, that's very cool."
Yeah. But it was meant, I was like, is it meant to have some significance within the show, or it's just a little moment for the bros?
I don't know. Yeah.
But yeah, no, we've never seen Mel Torme in the show. We'll never see him again, presumably. Jerry has apparently bonded with this man. There's just like a voice calls to him from out of the shadows right when he's about to go slide, because as we know, the portal famously remains open as long as you need it to.
No, call Guinness. This is the longest that the vortex has been open.
It had to pause for him to have a moment with Shadow Mel Torme, who had nine lives.
The velvet fog. The velvet fog. From the shadows.
Well, and let it be said that, like, even in Casino, what would have had to happen? It's dubious that Robert De Niro escapes that. Like, I mean, it was a fun reveal, but I was like, it's not lighting up, fam. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He slid out of that car when he needed to slide out of that car.
And then at the very end of the episode, we find out that Jerry got played all along. That the bartender, the goon, and the gal were all in on it together.
Mm-hmm.
They took the $100,000, and then he gave her another $5,000. A mark like that only comes around once in a lifetime.
So it wasn't Cherry's best episode in terms of being, you know, his best. Well, but when he yeeted that man, that was great. He did the fight skills, and I love it when the fight skills come out. The hand-to-hand combat, Jerry, is what I really enjoy. His hair looked good the whole time. We didn't talk about his hair very much, but it did look very good the whole time. They had let Wade prosper too much with her looks in the previous episode, so they really had to humble her in this, I would say. Didn't know what was going on there. I truly did think Jerry had a great trench coat at the end. It truly made me stop and think, appreciate the noble trench coat, you know? Love some tailored men's outerwear. I think that's it.
So we are on Instagram, Facebook,
sometimes
Twitter.
Kind of.
More not than yes, but we do have the logins for it. So technically yeah. We're on it.
Yeah. I'll just start saying on every episode, if you hit me up to make a meme, I will make a meme. I will fulfill requests. Two of our listeners are sitting here going like, I'm not going to do that. Well, but hey, we do know this. We have somewhere between 2 and 2 million listeners.
This
so
is true.
Listen, it's a message in a bottle, and I am putting that energy out into the universe.
All right. But Kristen, when can people catch another episode of Three Truths and a Slide?
Slide Nation, Slide Hive, Generation S, you know when you can catch us and when we will catch you. And it is on the flip slide. See you then.